appointed to be read for this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. And concerning these, I warn you, as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such things there is no law. And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what are we to put on? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there is nothing in particular that I need to point out in today's bulletin, which you cannot read for yourselves. No announcement that needs to be stressed in particular. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity. Against such things there is no law. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, in today's bulletin, you will find a portion that is really and truly asking us to reassess our reason or reasons for coming to a place such as this, wherever it may be, in order to give worship to God. And I think that we need to ask those questions conscientiously and to answer those questions conscientiously. You have been hearing over the past numbers of weeks a constant flow of concerns that beset every one of us. And the concerns, as we proceed from week to week, from day to day, from hour to hour, become ever more serious, ever more burdensome. As we look around ourselves and see those around us, whoever they are, wherever they are, go their merry way. And we should wonder, and we do wonder, why do we do certain things? I speak to us as we come here and as we are assembled here, and I look to us as a community. Of course, we are a community of monks on this side of the altar rail, but when we all come together and kneel together and pray together, we become another kind of a community, a faith community, a community of faith. And we must ask ourselves that if we are a community of faith, what is it that we must do, either collectively, corporately, or individually, that will get the attention of Almighty God, which is, after all, what we're trying to do, is to get His attention, is to bother Him enough that it will cause Him to answer what we want, what we need, what we desire, what we must have. It isn't enough that we simply come here, or anywhere else for that matter, that we simply come here to kneel and to say, "I worship you, Lord." It isn't enough for me to say, "I love you, God." There are those who think that it is enough to say, so long as I love God, I have nothing to worry about. We haven't come to that point yet in our weekly bulletins with these parts that we have got in it right now, with this going through the Old Testament, trying to form or formulate the chord which will eventually be referred to as the magisterium. I think the word comes up the first time in today's bulletin. We haven't come to the part yet. But you know, the Hebrews all they had in mind that they thought was going to please God and to make God happy and to get God's blessing upon themselves was for them to build or rebuild the temple. And when they did finally rebuild the temple, they thought their work was done and that God surely, surely, surely now was pleased with them. But he wasn't. He wasn't at all pleased with them. And their punishment continued and continued and continued. And so we ask ourselves, well, what has that got to do with us? It has very much to do with us. In that there are those of us who feel, oh, I go to Mass on Sunday. I go to confession often. I say my rosary every day. I do this. That's reminiscent of somebody else, isn't it? Who went up to the temple to pray, didn't he? He keeps coming up very often in our considerations on Sunday, doesn't he? He did everything just right. He built all of his temples as perfectly as the eye could see. He made no mistake. Everything he did was just right. And yet the poor man, and the part that is so poor about this man is that he did not really and truly know how poor he really was. Think about that. The man simply did not know how poor he really was. Because in all of the things that he did, in all of the temples that he built, he still had not gained the gaze, the ear of his God. And he went home completely unjustified, did he not? And so it is with us, that sometimes we think that we do all of these wonderful, we're constantly building temples, aren't we? And you can hear this expression, this word used, and we use it all the time, the traditional Roman Catholics. We are restoring. We're going to bring about the restoration. We are going to restore the Church of Jesus Christ exactly as he wanted it. You know, I've said many times that if you take Scripture and remove certain names and insert certain other names in the place of those names you have taken out, that the new names, namely our own, fit in those places perfectly, do they not? Are we not saying, are we not using the same vocabulary? Are we not using the same phrases, the same clauses, the same every sentences that have been said for thousands and thousands of years? When are we going to learn? And we think that in the temples that we are going to build and in the restoration that we are going to make take place, that we are going to please God. That it's an automatic thing. It isn't automatic at all. Where does God begin? Which is the one temple that Almighty God wants to see reconstructed? Which is the one temple that Almighty God wants to see restored? Where is it? Where is that temple? And what is it supposed to look like? Where is that temple? The most important temple in this entire world. And that's the temple of my own heart. If that temple is not restored to the satisfaction of Almighty God, we have not done our work. Let us not talk of any other restoration. Let us not talk of any other temple that has to be built. Let us not even think of such things and look upon them as pure distractions until after we have got the courage, the ability, and the workmanship, and the determination. And I read St. Paul, and unless we have charity and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and long-suffering and mildness and faith and modesty and continency and chastity, let us not talk about restoring anything, not even a chicken house. The construction begins in my own heart. And it has to be so. Because if the construction begins in my heart, That same construction begins in the heart of my brothers and sisters. And as a consequence, then we form a faith community. We are not permitted. We're definitely not permitted in this faith community to go off and say, this is the way I think it should be done. This is the way I believe. This is my opinion. This is the way it needs to be done. I think, you know, I believe it's this way. I'm going to do it this way. This is what I think. this is what I read someplace. This is what I heard. I'm not quite sure where, but this is what I heard. Therefore, I agree with that. And that's what I want to do, because it's the way I like to do things. In the community, I often refer to an orchestra. Because the orchestra exemplifies best what we're talking about. Here we have this magnificent orchestra. It's made up of all of the best musicians that have been picked up here and there, willy-nilly, from all over the world. And together they have made the world's best accumulation of musicians. There's nobody better than these musicians. But in that orchestra, why do they come together? They come together to make music, do they not? They make the tapes that you like to buy and that you like to play and listen to, because it is beautiful. It is music. And you love music. However, in the same orchestra, what would happen if each one of these great musicians, if each one of these great musicians would say unto himself, it's my opinion that this little bar should be played this way. And the next musician would say, it's my opinion, and this is the way I think, that this bar should be played this way. And each of the musicians has his own idea of the way the music has to be played, even though there is a conductor who is aimlessly waving his baton in front of this group that knows more about the music than he does. What would you have? Would you go and buy a tape that had that recording upon it? And would you recommend that tape to anybody and tell them it's worth listening to? It is possible, and in some cases it is probable, that any one of the musicians within the group there might know more about that particular piece of music than does the conductor. But by the very fact that he knows that music as well as he does, and by the very fact that because he knows music as well as he does, it is his one and only intention, his one and only thought, is to make music. And the only way he can make music is to do what? To follow the direction of him who stands in front. And so it is today, even in our holy religion, that we must, first of all, must trust that what is being taught is what has been handed down. Can I use the word before we get to it? The magisterium? Nobody. Nobody. I repeat, nobody. Be he pope or be he peasant. Nobody is at liberty to go it on his own. Nobody. Yet today, It seems to be in the drinking water. Everybody feels, as they do in politics, you know, and religion is certainly not politics, though religion has degenerated to politics. Yes, it has. Trust me on that one. If you don't believe it, do a little reading. That we have each got the feeling that in the last analysis, anything and everything, whether it is the price of apples in the grocery store, or to the price of gasoline, or to whatever, that in my opinion, so and so and so and so, when it comes to what God Almighty has told us with His own voice over the years and years and years and years, we must obey. We must obey. Without question. Whether it is the preacher, whether it is anybody. The teacher in the classroom, if he is the teacher, what? He simply has to obey to the letter that which he is teaching. If he is teaching a course in mathematics, is he permitted to have an opinion? Of course not. If he is teaching science, is he permitted to have his own personal opinion? Well, he might think that he is entitled to his personal opinion, but he'd better get ready for an explosion, because there will be one. And if we are obedient and we understand the restrictions that science and mathematics and history, I don't even want to use history because today I think everybody's guilty of bad history. If we understand our obedience in these areas, then we should certainly understand our obedience when it comes to the matter of our immortal souls. And today, no matter what you pick up, if you pick up this piece of mail, it says everybody else is wrong. You pick up this piece of mail, and it says everybody else is wrong but itself. And it goes on and on and on and on. And you can't find any two that will agree on the issue. Why? Because each one has given in to his own personal opinion. Can't do it. It doesn't work. In any school event, if you have six teachers of mathematics in that school, or six teachers of science or biology or whatever you wish, and each one is teaching the subject in a different way, how long do you think the principal of that school would allow such a condition to exist? How long? So, my beloved people, it is time for us to awake from our sleep. The time is going by quickly, isn't it? If we want peace, if we want patience, if we want to save our immortal souls, there's only one way we can do it, and that is to do the will of God. What is the will of God? The conversion, the restoration, of my own heart. Until that happens, let us not waste our time in gathering the bricks and the mortar to build the temple. Let us not worry about our brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and neighbors and whatever. Let us worry only about ourselves, first and foremost. It stops there. It starts there, and it stops there. There are so many different ways now, and today, because there is no longer, there is something in the bulletin this day. That I will read to you. And I think it hits the nail on the head because it has created a climate that has brought about a situation where everything has gone wild, and that there is no supervision, and that there is no central thought anymore. And may I give you a point on that? The way I estimate it, now this is an opinion, and I am giving you an opinion. Please permit me that, even though I won't let you have one, I'm going to give you an opinion. It is my honest opinion that centralized authority and that centralized thinking has gone with the wind. And will never again be seen on the face of this earth, except probably, maybe, by a very select few. Who have been touched by the grace of God. And the fewness of this select group might startle all of us. The things that have to be said today are utterly grim. And we might as well, if we do believe in a life yet to come, we might as well not be afraid to face up to the grimness of the situation. Oh, I would love to be able to get up here and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all just fine. They do that in other places. And I could get up here and I could crack jokes. I love jokes, and I love to laugh, though I don't always laugh. As a matter of fact, I laugh very seldom anymore. I used to laugh all the time. What I'm reading from the bulletin is this. The final aftershock of the explosive events of Eden might well be that we have been snared by those who were placed over us to watch over us. Those are horrible words. Those are very horrible words. And we have to be careful that we stick with that which has been proven to be the voice of Almighty God, the voice of the Word that has come down to us from the very beginning. When He came down for the first time and started this whole business, and He went to a man who couldn't even speak well, Moses. Moses couldn't talk. Don't go by what the movies tell you. Moses couldn't carry on a conversation to save his life. He was a stammerer, a bad one. But it began when God took His law, physically almost, on tablets of stone and handed it to this man. And he is the one that received the Word to begin with. And from him all the way, the voice has manifested the Word, thread by thread by thread. I give you the answer to the problem before we get to it, and that is, that's the magisterium. That right there in a nutshell is a magisterium. The voice of the Word has been given to us thread by thread by thread, and we have to obey it. Regardless of how many temples we may build, regardless of how well we can restore whatever we feel needs to be restored, regardless, the restoration can only begin in my heart, and the plan of action can only be what the Word has manifested to us by way of its voice. My beloved people,